to Timothy, his letter to Timothy, has talked about that there's a reward for those that look forward to the return of Christ. Last week we talked a little bit about anticipation with Abram in Genesis chapter 15. No, it was. I was right the first time, 16. But back to 15, in the first couple of verses there, where Abraham said to the Lord, when, Lord, are you going to bring that blessing that you keep telling me about? You said that I'm going to have heirs beyond the number of grains of sand on the seashore, and that I'm going to have a land. Where is it? And it wasn't that Abram was doubting that God was going to do it. It was not a question of, I don't think he's going to do it, or he can't do it. It was that eager anticipation. God, when are you going to do it? I'm waiting. I'm chomping at the bit here. I'm trying to be patient, Lord, but when is it going to happen? And in 15, God had promised and confirmed, or remember, we talked about the covenant where the three animals were cut in half and put in the row there, and how that the presence of the Lord went through to signify and show the signing, the sealing the deal of the covenant. And when the presence of the Lord went through that, Abram didn't go through it because there was no part of that contract that he had to fulfill. It was all on God to fulfill what he said he would do for Abram in giving him heirs and giving him a land. Abram got the message. His wife didn't. That's what we looked at specifically last week in the first six verses of chapter 16. Let me take a step back and start where my notes say I should start. A few years ago, and I don't know if they're still doing it in the UP or not. I know if they do, they're not contacting me to ask us to support it. And I'm going to explain why. There was a group from a church downstate that, they do it downstate too, but a couple summers ago, and they did it two or three years in a row, came up to the UP and they would put on concerts that in like a city park. It was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good thing, right? Good goal, right? Yeah. But I wouldn't support it. The other pastors at NAMA kind of looked at me. I explained why, and I'll explain to you why. The first 15 minutes of their concert was rock music from the 70s and 60s of groups that did not live for the Lord. I mean, they were the rock bands of the 70s, and you know what was the 60s and 70s. These were not Christian groups singing Christian songs. And what the band that was here would tell me was, well, we use that music to attract them, to get their attention. And then about 15 minutes into our concert, we slide into Christian music, into sharing the gospel. And I said, I can't support that. Because what you're telling God is, God, your Holy Spirit is not powerful enough to draw the attention of these people. Your Holy Spirit is not strong enough, is not powerful enough to draw the ones to you that you want purely through Christian music. So we're going to help you out, God. We're going to play rock music that will attract people's attention. And I explained it to NAMA at the beginning of why we weren't going to advertise that and participate in that. At the end of the summer, when they were done with their tour, I contacted the leader of the group and talked with him. I had a couple conversations with him on the phone, and I explained that to him. I said, we don't need to, and if you can go to James. Yeah, and we talk about this all the time. You can't have a foot here and a foot here. You can't have a foot in God's camp and a foot in the world's camp. doesn't work. That's not the way God wants it. It's not the way he planned it. And so I talked to the fellow a couple times, and I just said, I think that we're undermining the work of the Holy Spirit. You're telling God you're not strong enough to do what you want to do, and what our goal is to share the gospel, so we're going to help you out. Didn't hear anything back. I mean, we talked. I mean, we started with a couple emails, but then we talked on the phone. And I thought it was interesting. 8 months later, I got a call from the guy. And he says, you know, I'm still thinking about what you told me. I said, thank you, Lord. In this day and age, and I know that you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. I don't care. Because we're going to preach the vinegar of the Word of God, if to use that analogy, if you understand it. As long as I'm the pastor here, I'll make mistakes. Been here almost 7 years. I promise you, I've made more than 7 mistakes. Probably do that a day. But I will never apologize or never back down from taking a stand on the Word of God to be true to the Word of God. Do I still need to learn things? Yes. And in the future, will I learn to become a better manager than I am today? I hope so. Will I make fewer mistakes than I did last month? Probably not. I would like to think so, but you know. We kept telling the kids this week, and the first day, God is a friend who is real. We talked about Elijah and the Baals, the Baal worship, and Elijah and God calling down fire. And I probably would have mocked like Elijah did. Hey, you know, go wake up Baal. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe that's why he hasn't answered you. Maybe he's traveling in a faraway country. But Elijah would not compromise on the Word of God, that there is one true God, and he is a real God. And so we kept telling the kids all week, and I would make sure every day during our deep Bible adventures, I'd make sure every day that I read some of the verses of the story and the passage that we were in, so that the kids knew I wasn't making up a story, I was reading from God's Word to share the truth with them. And we have to live in the truth, folks. We have to, when you can cut out a part of the Bible because society doesn't like that and it's not politically correct today, well, then I can cut out this part too. And I'll, that one isn't, no, I don't like that. This one offends me. This one holds me accountable. That makes me feel guilty. I don't like that feeling. So I'm going to get rid of that part of God's Word. Pretty soon you got nothing left. You cannot compromise the truth of the Word of God, and we will not. If it gets to the point that someday you guys vote me out of here because of that, then so be it. And what did they do in the New Testament? They took their sandals off as they went, and that's what I'll do. You're going to vote me out of here because I preach the Word of God, and I think that's one of the reasons you guys brought me here 7 years ago. Through the Lord's leading. It's because you knew I was going to stay true to the Word of God and not apologize for it. I've lost friendships over it. Sorry, but I love God more than I love you. Just the way it's going to be. Abram got the message in chapter 15. In chapter 16, God, Sarah says, God, I know you said my husband's going to be the heir or have heirs more than the grains of sand on the seashore. And in chapter 15, he talked about the stars of the heaven. He's going to have more descendants than that. But God, you're not doing it, so I'm going to have to help you out. That's just who I am. I'll help you out. Because it's not happening. So he says, she says, Abram, take my handmaid to be your wife. Have relations with her so that she'll have a kid because I'm not having a kid. I appreciate and love Abram's anticipation in chapter 15. But he dropped the ball in chapter 16 when he listened to his wife in this regards. Because we know that Hagar was not his wife. And as we look today, we're going to start in chapter, or yeah, stay in 16, but we'll finish chapter 16, verses 7 through 16. And in verse 7, it says, Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur, and he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid. He did not say, Hagar, Abram's wife. God did not accept what Sarai, I'm saying Sarah, I need to remember, Sarai, what Sarai was doing and saying, and what Abraham caved and went along with his wife, which he never should have done. She was not his wife. Read the quote again from Warren Wiersbe last week. People may agree with you, and that was very, and we looked at that too last week, that's very appropriate in that time setting in that culture. That like Abram was talking in chapter 15, verse 2, that Eleazar of Damascus, one of his servants, would be his heir because he wasn't having biologically heirs of his own. So it'd be one of his top slave or servant that would become his heir. Sarai using Hagar because she couldn't get pregnant, using Hagar as a surrogate to have a baby for her. When that baby was born, it would be as though it were hers. That was very common back then. But that was not God's plan. Warren Wiersbe says, People may agree with you, and the law may defend you, but if God cannot bless you, don't do it. I just love that. I think that's going to be one. I'm going to have to put that up in my office somewhere. It's such a good quote and a good reminder. There's laws in our state of Michigan that are legal according to our laws, but we should have absolutely nothing to do with them because God cannot bless you in that. People may agree with you. The law may defend you. But if God cannot bless you, don't do it. And that's where Abram dropped the ball. And his unbelief, impatience, anger, pride, and worst of all, his indifference. His wife said, Here, take my handmaid, had a baby because I can't have any. Again, according to society, that was perfectly fine. But it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's design. And if we've learned anything from looking at creation and God's design, we know that God's plan is perfect and that there is no greater designer than He. So let's leave it with Him. Let's leave the designing to Him. Let's live according to His word and His plan. And the example of marriage and why God set marriage up was that the church will one day be His bride. And we say that God is a jealous God. Any of the men in here that are married, you're okay if your wife is off flirting with other men? Huh. Not even. I believe that jealousy is built into us and given this to us as God because God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to have any other gods. He doesn't want us to be worshiping anything else. We're to worship Him and Him alone, only Him. Very exclusive. And our relationships this way. I honestly, if I'm jealous because of your house or your boat, that's one thing. But I don't think it's wrong for a man to be jealous if he thinks his wife is flirting or something. One to one. And one day there will be one, the bride of Christ, for one, for Christ. The church for Christ alone. No other gods. Nothing else to worship but God alone. The church must be the chaste wife of Christ. He is a jealous God. As believers, we've been joined to Christ. When we try to join ourselves in having a foot here and a foot here, folks, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It may feel good for a while. We may think it's great. It's not God's plan. If God won't bless it, if God can't bless it, don't do it. Hagar encounters the angel of the Lord. My fancy title today is Hagar Caught Between the Two, between Abram and Sarai. I really like Philip Bethencourt is one of the commentaries that I read. I really like his title for this section. Healing happens when we experience the presence of God. That just gives me peace saying it. Healing happens when we experience the presence of God. To rest in Him. Psalm 46:10, to be still and know that He is God. God, well, let me read chapter 16, verses 7 through 16. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live to the east of his brothers. Then she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her, thou art a God who sees me. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of that son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Boy, so much. Verse 7, for by the spring of, on the way to Shur, S-H-U-R, that was a reference to the line of fortifications that the Egyptians built on their northern border so that they could control their border. Border walls are not a new thing, people. They go back to before when Christ was on earth. They had a right to defend and protect their land and control what came in and out. That's what she was on the way to Shur. She was headed home. Like so often we do when there's difficulties or struggles in life, we may head home. She's heading back to Egypt. She's heading home. And she comes to Shur, the wall, again, of fortifications along the border. The angel of the Lord found her. Now, we're going to look at verse 10 and verse 13. The way the wording is this is what's called a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Pre-incarnate meaning that before Christ came to the earth as a baby when we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus Christ actually appeared. It says the angel of the Lord, but then as we just read, he says, Verse 10, I will greatly multiply your descendants. Angels don't have the ability to do that. Only God does. God is the author of life. He's the one that has the ability to give life, not an angel. And in verse 13, she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her, thou art a God who sees. She's not talking to an angel, she's talking to Christ. She's talking to Christ here. He deals with her very graciously. She's caught in the middle. It's Abram's and Sarai's sin that got her caught up in the middle of this mess. Last week we mentioned that exactly what happens here is sex trafficking and abuse. She was trafficked. She was used. People may agree with you, the law may defend you, but if God cannot bless you, don't do it. That's why Abram was so wrong in agreeing to do what his wife asked him to do. But God deals very graciously with her. Lack of time, write this down if you want to dig deeper. John chapter 4, verse 1 through 26. Jesus and the woman at the well. The woman taken in sin, and he says, go and sin no more. He meets Hagar at the well. He wants to reassure Hagar. He says, go back. And yet you can understand her hesitation, because there's been abuse there. Who wants to go back to that? And this isn't a carte blanche thing saying you have to go back into an abusive situation. But God is telling Hagar here, go back to that, because I will be there. I will protect you. I will take care of you. I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they too shall be too many to count. And it is another one of those Hebrew, it's lost in translation. I will greatly multiply your descendants. It would be, I will greatly, mightily multiply your descendants. Just for emphasis. Not an exaggeration, but not just big, but really big. I'm gonna increase your line. Hagar, it's interesting, is the only one in the Old Testament that gives God a name. She said, you are a God who sees me. God knows your name, and God sees you. With all the billions of galaxies and stars that he made, I know we talked, Lou Giglio talked about this. If you covered Texas with golf balls, what was it, like 8.5 feet deep over the whole state? It's about how many galaxies that we know about. Crazy, huh? But as big as this universe is, God is a very personal God. He is a very real God. He loves you. He knows your name. And he sees you. He sees you where you're at in life. We're all at different places in our lives. We have different backgrounds, different futures. He sees you where you're at. He sees you where you're at, what you're struggling with. The pain of emotions of somebody that's done you wrong. God sees you and he loves you. And he wants you to walk with him. The place was Beer Lahoy Roy. And to shorten it down, is when she says in verse 13 that you're God who sees me, it's basically Elroy. E-L for God, and Roy, R-O-I, is he sees me. Again, healing happens when we experience the presence of God, when we're still and allow Him to be who He is to us. He knows your name. He feels your pain. And He sees you. And how comforting and encouraging that can be. At this point, I'm going to give you a couple of references for those that want to dig deeper, just to follow up. I'm not going to take the time to turn there. Romans 14:23. Romans, these are all Romans. This week was John, today is Romans. Romans 5:17 and 20. Chapter 6, 11 through 14. In the reference to Romans 5:20, I just wrote a couple words of a song here. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. We got to be thankful for that. Our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. Now, and He tells us, don't sin more just so that there will be more grace. That's the wrong attitude too. That's the wrong way to look at that. But He sees you. He knows your name. Be it you're struggling with sin in your life, be it you're struggling with a relationship, a family member, even a spouse. God sees you, and He loves you, and He wants to be close to you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants it to be real. But for it to be real, one more time, people may agree with you and the law may defend you. But if God cannot bless you, don't do it. You may have every justification in the book and reason why you ought to be able to do what you think you want to do or need to do. If God can't bless it, don't do it. But at the same time, if God can bless it, full speed ahead. Full speed ahead with this as our guide, the truth of the Word of God. Stand firm, rest in it, sit in it, sleep in it, put it on your forehead, put it in your heart, put it in your head. See that sign on my file cabinet as I walk out the door all the time. I don't always pay attention to it, but it's, I want to be so full of Jesus that if a mosquito fly bites me, He's going to fly away singing, "There's power in the blood." We can have that power through Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that even though Hagar was caught in a difficult position, Lord, as a slave, she didn't really have a whole lot of say what was done to her. But among all the false gods that she had ever worshipped, she saw You as the real God, as the one that sees her, as the one that sees her in her time of difficulty. And He loves her, and He shared that with her. God, thank You that You see us. Thank You that You are not like false gods that we worship, be it money or things, boats, cars, whatever. God, You're real. And You are for eternity. You are forever, Father. Help us in those difficult times that we can come into Your presence and be healed emotionally and spiritually. And yes, Lord, sometimes physically. Help us to lean on You, to put our full weight on You, to believe in You and to trust on You. Thank You for the promises in Your Word, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Stand